back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. And Dr. Reeve is with us. Also, Gina Grad's going to do the news. But first, some very important news when it comes to KLSX, the FM talk station here in Los Angeles. There is a new king in the afternoons, and his name happens to be Tom Likas, number one in the ratings. Tommy, how'd you do that?
Oh, I don't know, held my breath for 3 months.
Congratulations, man.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, now what is the demographic? The I guess the most desirable one for advertisers, is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, adults 25 to 54, we have the number one talk show in afternoons, beating any other spoken word format, anyone. And in men 25-54, we were number one among all radio stations in any language.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And especially because, you know, these people meters, they really favor, you know, music as opposed to talk radio. So that's a huge achievement.
Well, there is a secret sauce that we used to get the ratings up. And we've made some adjustments to the show, which regular listeners would recognize.
I hear you talking about it all the time, less commercials.
Well,
shorter
not just
breaks.
Commercials, but shorter commercial breaks.
Right.
I think we had commercial breaks that exceeded 7 minutes sometimes, and I went to the management and said, look, I wouldn't mind more breaks, just shorter breaks.
Okay.
And so that's exactly what we did. We took the same number of commercials, we reduced that by one or two, and then we just we made the breaks shorter and more frequent. And, you know, every one of these changes to the ratings that happens from time to time, the way they do the ratings, it requires some thought and adjustment. They've written about it in the LA Times. This is not a secret. There are some radio shows that have suffered as a result. But people who have been willing to make the adjustments and tighten up what they're doing and speed up what they're doing are doing just as well, if not better. Three shows that people know that are having ratings problems right now are Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, and Jim Rome, which are all products of our competitor of Clear Channel Communications or Premier Radio Networks,
right,
owned by Clear Channel. And the problem they have there is that these shows, let's face it, you've got three people who've had a lot of success doing what they do, and as an air personality, I can imagine it's real tough for these people to want to change what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Or to in any way, because they've had so much success. And of course, that's what hangs you, and that's, if you're going to have longevity in this business, that's what keeps you on the air, that you're willing to make adjustments and tweak it and not just stay the same for 50 years.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I saw those numbers today, and I said, geez, there's nobody that works harder on their show than you do.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, you work pretty hard yourself.
Yeah, please, Tommy. Pass a little of that secret sauce that gets you the ratings down our way here.
I'll be more than happy to share.
Hey, real quickly, I didn't hear your entire show today. Did you talk about Michael Phelps now having to apologize for taking a bong rip?
Well, Danny had done that today right before me, so I didn't get to talk about it, but I'll talk about it with you.
I couldn't believe this guy.
Well,
I mean,
first of all, the guy had a DUI. Let's start with that.
When he was underage.
Right.
Yeah.
So he had the DUI, and then he went and won all the medals, and now he got caught by News of the World in London with the glass bong, and, you know, but here's the thing. I mean, this says two things to me. One, well, from a marketing standpoint, that was a stupid thing to do, because if you want to be on the Wheaties box, you have to be sans bong.
Right.
Okay, by the same token, what it says to me is people on drugs definitely perform better at athletics. I mean, let's take a look. But seriously, back in the 70s and the 80s when Major League Baseball was cracking down on all the coke fiends,
right,
you never saw a coke fiend who batted less than 330 or
right,
any coke fiend who was a pitcher. Remember Steve Howe?
Oh, yeah, and Strawberry.
Yes, ERA under 2. I mean, no .217 hitter ever got busted for cocaine. I think that tells you something.
Hey, who is the pitcher? Is it Doc Ellis, the pitcher?
Well, are you thinking of Doc Ellis, or are you thinking of, it wasn't Doc Ellis, was it Blue Moon Odom, I think you're thinking of.
Oh, who pitched the perfect game on acid?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, Blue Moon Odom.
What a commercial for, you know, what a pro-drug commercial he could have done.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah, but you know, the 70s, let's face it, think back, there were so many players. I mean, I remember that the Speed Demon base stealer from the Atlanta Braves, Otis Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you think back on all the guys who got nailed, I mean, these were all good players.
I remember Otis Nixon used to snort the foul line on the way to first.
Oh, hey, speaking of people who did that, what about that Tony Phillips who used to play for the Angels?
All right, yeah.
Who got nailed in a motel in Anaheim. I mean, come on.
Well, Tommy, congratulations, man.
Well, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to be on the station with you, and we continue while others are stepping down.
There you go. And I won't tell you why. I mean, who told me this? And I can't go into the details, but Tom Leich is single-handedly saving the talk format on FM. I can't go into the details.
Oh, boy.
Can't go into the details.
Oh, boy, that's a heavy noose to be carrying around.
Yes, okay. Especially with those big ratings.
Exactly right.
All right, thanks, Tommy.
All right, Timmy, see you later.
Take care of yourself.
All right, you too.
All right, there he goes, folks. Tom Leikas every single day at 3 o'clock here on the station till 8 o'clock. Number one. Look at that. And by the way, speaking of number one, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank also number one. In that very, very coveted demographic, I think it's men 25-54, adults 25-54. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, number one. Tom Leikas, number one. And the Tim Conway Jr. Show, number...
God damn it.
Oh, you didn't hear it? I just said it. You didn't hear it over Jack swearing? Number...
God damn it.
Number six. We'll talk about that. All right, folks. Doing the news is Gina Grad, and joining us for the news is Dr. Reif. Nice to see you, man.
Hey, good to be here. How
are you,
Tim?
Look at you. I called you a mixologist before, which is a guy who really knows how to make a drink, but you're an addictionologist.
Addictionologist.
The guy
right.
You see after he's been to the mixologist too many times.
Yeah, once you've really gotten to know your mixologist well, you come to see me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and he specializes in sex, drugs, and relationships. And is a young doctor who really knows what he's doing. So we'll talk to him about all you and all your problems. A lot of people going through depression after the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
maybe you,
all
put
those
a couple-
Cardinal fans.
Yeah. Well, the Super Bowl, it broke down where only one quarter of the people betting could be happy. Usually it's half or three quarters. So, and here are the people who are unhappy. So there are four categories of bettors. People that bet on the game that have no interest in either team.
Yeah.
People that bet on the game but love Arizona. People that bet on the game that love Pittsburgh. And people who bet on the game who... Or no, people watch the game who don't care at all, right? That's like the fourth category. So you had the... Actually, the point spread fell right in between 7 points.
Right.
It was at 3 points or four mm-hmm. points. So you had the people who bet on Pittsburgh... But lost their wager because they didn't get the point spread, right? They're depressed. The people that bet on Arizona that loved Arizona, they're depressed and how that game ended. The only people that won are the people who bet on Arizona and didn't give a rat's ass who won. They're the only people that came out on top.
Yeah, and even the commercials. With the commercials, they spent all that money on that Clydesdale commercial.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And they thought they were going to blow it away and be the best commercial. And then that commercial where the guy throws the crystal ball into the vending machine was like the most popular commercial.
Yeah.
So they weren't happy either.
And what was the other one? Conan O'Brien's commercial is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Where he said he was going to do a commercial that only appeared in like Sweden or Switzerland. That's very funny. All right, folks, we're going to do the news. It's about 10 minutes, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock here. So let's get to it. The news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom,
Gina Grad.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Because that's my fun day.
All right, Gina,
Sammy.
What's going on with that news?
Well, football fans who watched the big game in Tucson yesterday got an extra special show, and no, I'm not talking about the E Street Band. Right after the Cardinals took the lead in the fourth quarter, the game footage was replaced by a short clip of pornography in which a woman was shown unzipping a man's pants. Following the scene, some full male frontal nudity was shown as the man in the video then got up and did a special little dance for the camera, followed by a certain sexual act. Wow. Investigations are still underway to try to find out the origin of this blunder. Now, do you believe this is a blunder, Tim?
It's happened before in these big games.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why I don't have Comcast, because my Dish Network, I can watch the whole game without seeing some guy's wiener.
That's a good thing.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's wiener-free TV.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Now, obviously this happens, it was a mistake, or even if it wasn't, are people devastated over this? I mean, what is the effect, Doctor, of a kid who's like 9 or 10 years old, watch the football game, and all of a sudden he sees a wiener?
Well, I think it... It's such a funny question. I think it causes people to ask questions. It causes kids to ask questions. You know, parents. Parents,
right.
If you're not ready to answer that question, you don't want your kid asking that question.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So suddenly your kid's like, hey, Mommy, what does it mean when it... man pulls out, like, you don't want to go there, right? As a parent. So you're like, you're just pissed off as a parent.
Yeah, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. You got to take time out now to explain to these kids what's going on.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
Yeah,
you should be watching the Super Bowl, you know, checking out the Cardinals.
Now, what do you think was more devastating? Janet Jackson's nipple or this guy's wiener?
Probably this guy's wiener.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't like... Janet Jackson.
Yeah, but you know what? Who can be damaged by this? I mean, is there somebody so frail out there that they see a sex act and they just collapse?
I don't know. If psychologists and psychiatry start seeing more patients, like, because of this act,
right.
Like, they're now claiming post-traumatic stress disorder after seeing, like, act on TV, then we'll
All right. What else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, in other sports news, as you now know, Olympic golden boy Michael Phelps got himself in a bit of trouble this weekend over a photograph that was taken while he was taking a massive bong rip at a college party in South Carolina. In this clip, CBS2 reports on how this incident has affected the Phelps image.
All right, here we go. Mike's taking that big bong rip, man.
Say it ain't so. Is this really America's Olympic hero smoking pot from a bong?
Wait a minute. He wasn't having sex with a three-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I know.
He was taking a bong rip.
Yeah.
I mean, what the Christ has happened to this country?
And is there any cool left in the world when a news anchor says, smoking pot from a bong?
Jesus. People are so hysterical in this country. They really are.
Say it ain't so. Is this really America's Olympic hero smoking pot from a bong?
Now, say it ain't so is a throwback to Say It Ain't So Joe of the Black Sox scandal, you know, in back in the 30s or 40s.
Or Hall & Oates.
Where they threw the World Series. This guy just took a bong rip. That's all he did.
And he didn't throw the game. In fact, he won 8 medals for the game.
He wasn't even in the game. He was at a party taking a bong hit. Please let the guy alone. Leave him alone.
Say It Ain't So. Is this really America's Olympic hero smoking pot from a bong?
Yes, it is.
I sort of held him in high esteem, especially for my sons who are athletes. So, yeah, it does kind of hurt me.
Now, is that a man or a woman?
That is not a question I could answer for you. I tried to answer it before the show, and I couldn't.
I sort of held him in high esteem, especially for my sons who are athletes.
I think it's a woman smoking. Yeah.
I thought it was an effeminate man.
I think it's a woman. Is it a woman?
It's a woman.
It is a woman. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you need to look at it for a while.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
She needs a bong hit.
There you go. I was going to bet on husky women on that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it does kind of hurt me.
This amateur photo of a man in profile lighting a bong, lips to pipe, began circulating on the internet this weekend.
Ooh.
He's human. Let the man live. You know, he wants to smoke a marijuana joint. I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, if it's not in his system 24/7, it's not steroids.
Was that the spearmint rhino reaction? Where'd they get that? Is that a chick that just came off the pole?
That's fine. If anything, the marijuana is going to slow him down.
Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If anything, this guy is even more of a super athlete.
Yep,
if
Iron
the
Man.
Guy
exactly.
is smoking pot. I mean, hopefully he wasn't doing it while he was performing, obviously. Well, but
does he have 14 gold medals?
Yeah, 14.
14. And he's smoking a little weed? Listen, he went out and
could have done 22, you know, but
he kicked the crap out of the rest of the world in smoking. Let him smoke a bong if he wants. You know what? Let him smoke a joint. Let him take a shot. Let him be a human being. Jesus Christ. Everyone's so uptight about this guy.
The rumor became fact after London's News of the World published the picture and Phelps fessed up, saying, I engaged in behavior which was regrettable and demonstrated bad judgment. I'm 23 years old, and despite the successes I've had in the pool, I acted in a youthful and inappropriate way.
Because he's youthful, and sometimes he's inappropriate. Why does he have to apologize for this, Doc? Why can't he just say, yeah, I smoke weed once in a while?
I guarantee you it's because of advertising, marketing and all of the people that want him to be some above-it-all role model because he's been thrown into that light. And the way this world works is if you're going to have an opportunity to sell something or be a role model for something, you need to be purely clean.
Well, yeah, but can he be like more of a... like a Jack Nicholson type, he's popular because he just, you know, he does everything, right? And he, but he's like a real honest guy about it. Yeah, he drinks, he smokes, he does whatever he does. And he's a very popular guy. Why can't this guy just say, yeah, at a bong rip, he'd be very popular with most of the country.
I think if he was, you know, 35, 40, and is like his career is kind of midway, he could get away with that. But when you're 23, you know what I mean? Like, it's a huge risk to take.
Yeah, but obviously he's a pot smoker, right? Yeah. I mean, you never go to a party and you go, well, what is that glass thing that you guys are passing around?
It's a vase.
I don't even think he's a pot smoker. He's just a partier. He's 23 years old. He's stumbled into some frat party. They said, oh my God, it's Michael Phelps here, man. It would be an honor if you smoked out of our bong. He's not going to say no.
And then some a-hole takes a picture of him.
Yeah, that sucks.
Michael Phelps, the stoner.
Not in a manner people have come to expect from me. For this, I am sorry. I promise my fans and the public it will not happen again.
Who believes that?
Who wrote that speech?
Yeah,
right. Not him.
No, his PR guy.
And by what he meant by happen, he meant photographed. It will not be documented again.
Sorry, I got busted.
In 2004, he was arrested in his home state of Maryland on suspicion of drunk driving. Then he told ESPN, I'm 19, but was taught that no matter how old you are, you take responsibility for actions, which I will do. I'm extremely sorry. He could be sorrier if his public support starts to dwindle.
It really disappoints me because, I thought he was this great All-American athlete that was, abiding by the rules.
The U.S. Olympic Committee agrees, but says it's confident that from now on, Phelps will consistently set the type of example we all expect from a great Olympic champion.
Yeah. Well, they had to say that, too. If they said, you're banned from the sport... Or we're not going to, we're going to, make sure that it doesn't happen again. Michael Phelps should have just said, well, F you, Olympics. Try to get the ratings next time without me.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's interesting that last guy said, I thought he was an all-American. Like, it's almost like smoking pot is not being an all-American person.
Right. Yeah, it's like raping babies. I mean, it's like, it's like if he smoked a cigarette, they'd be freaked out as well.
And can you imagine his parents trying to scold him, saying... Michael, you're smoking pot. What are you going to do with your life? Oh, crap.
Hey, guys, by the way, that last person interviewed was a chick.
Oh, it was?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
What's in the water
on
CBS 2 today?
Who are they talking to? Chicks that have been gambling all night at the Caesar's Palace?
Yeah, smoking at Caesar's, chain smoking.
Jesus Christ. They set up a table right out of, right outside of...
Hey, what do you think of Michael Phelps? Hold on a sec. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Hold on one second. Here comes another lady out of the Barbary Coast.
Hey, Michael Phelps, I'll tell you what I think about him.
Ma'am, your purse is open. Sorry about that. All right, what else going on in the news here?
Well, in science news, psychologists have found that adult females who have prominent chins are more sexually active than those with softer features. Mm. Larger chins on women are often caused by a high level of the male growth hormone testosterone, which is present in various amounts in women. The hormone also increases sexual assertiveness in women, a tendency more commonly attributed to males. Now, experts cite actress Meg Ryan as an example of this theory, as she, with her strong chin, famously cheated on her husband Dennis Quaid with her co-star Russell Crowe.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
I want to know who these experts are. Who are these experts? Okay, experts are now talking about Meg Ryan stating that because her chin is so-and-so, she cheated on... Come on!
Yeah.
Perez
Hilton,
MD. What experts are these?
You got a good point there, Doc.
Research from TMZ shows that... Come on.
Is it the same with men?
No.
Big chins?
No, I think what they're saying...
Is this your natural chin that you were born with?
Funny you should bring that up. That's what I was going to bring up. No, it's not.
Right.
So... I guess I look like a person who's sexually assertive, but you get me in the bedroom, you're real bored.
So you're a tease, basically.
Totally.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. So you've got yourself a Jay Leno chin.
Thank you very much.
To try to convince guys you're hitting it, and then you just you just pass out.
Yeah, Tim, just like that.
That's a great story.
It's like you were in the waiting room with me when I was 24 in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
What did the old chin look like?
There was just less of it.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, sorry. like, you know.
Oh, I see.
Because they said it's fairly...
How big is the implant? Is it like the size of a quarter?
No, it's like a cup that goes over your chin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's sutured down, which is important so it doesn't go sliding around the punnum. Right.
So if somebody punched you in the chin, it's like you have a cup on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. It looks good.
Thank you very
Play
much.
Play hockey with that helmet. That's not bad, dude.
Right? Oh,
it's a big sexless chin.
And that's the thing. I mean, I often find myself judging people, you know, who have implants or lipo. And I'm like, oh, those pretentious, low self-esteem a-holes who get right. plastic surgery. And I completely forgot. And I was like, oh, I can't judge anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, that study, too. I'm still going back to that study. The research shows that in males, like as you're growing up, when you get into puberty and you kick in your testosterone levels, there is a direct linear increase in the amount of how bad you want sex.
Right.
In females, it is not consistent at all. Like other things based on hormonal changes, it's much more complex in women. Because if that were the case, and you go by a woman's highest testosterone levels, when she's ovulating, she should just be looking for sex all over the place.
Oh, I see.
If it was linear. And the times that women are looking for sex most is not necessarily during ovulation. It's very spread out.
Is it usually right before the menstrual?
Yeah.
I heard it's when they're engaged.
Yeah, exactly. When they're, when they're taken.
Right.
No, according to the research that I saw, it says that before, during, or immediately after menstruation, the testosterone from the ovaries is at a low point.
Right.
So it would happen at different times than that. So it's not consistent.
Yeah,
the data is not consistent
you're right.
at all.
Oh,
so
then F them. They're lying.
So I don't
liars.
Know. I want to know who these experts are, and I want to know where they brought in
and
Meg
you want
Ryan.
Them now. You want names and phone numbers of these sons of bitches.
I will get you an email
address. False information.
All right, let's do it.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, conservative talk show host and past guest of The Conway Show, John Ziegler, popped up on the hit afternoon talk show, The View. Ziegler, who created the website HowObamaGotElected.com, paid a visit to the ladies to defend Governor Sarah Palin. In our first clip, Barbara Walters demands that Palin's handlers were to blame for her misfortune and not the media.
Oh, God.
Had I been chosen perhaps to run as a reformer on the Democrat ticket, we would have seen an absolutely different and I think, if you will, a much prettier profile of Sarah Palin and the Palin family in my administration.
I don't think so.
Well, you're absolutely wrong, and the facts in my documentary...
No, absolutely wrong.
Yeah, sure.
We just disagree with you.
No, you're absolutely wrong, lady.
Yeah.
You're absolutely effing wrong. You know, it's the same thing. It's a double standard where you have all these guys joining the Obama administration who haven't paid their taxes. Daschle's the latest guy, right?
Yeah, $128,000.
Yeah, and it's not a news story. It's like, nah.
Are you
know,
sure?
Let's talk about the dogs, rescuing each other. It's not a huge news story.
Oh.
That these guys who want to raise your taxes don't pay their own taxes.
Right.
You know, but if it was the Bush administration, something like this happened, it would be breaking news.
Well,
stop being Bush's butt buddy.
Thank you so much.
In the Democrats' defense, I suppose, I don't have a television, and I do avoid a lot of information.
You don't have a television?
No, I don't. Wow. It's too expensive. And I don't have bunny ears because the switch is coming. I don't seek a lot of information on a day-to-day basis, and I even know how much he owes.
Yeah,
and why? Because the driver in the car.
It's a mild news story. I mean, this is the second guy that's going to be a part of his administration that forgot to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Now, if it's some guy who, you know, if it was something else, let's say it was like a gun issue or abortion or whatever, it would be different. But this is the party that says we want everyone to pay more taxes and they don't pay their taxes. That's what gets them in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of hypocrisy is what America looks at and goes, oh, no, not another administration who's going to say one thing and do another.
Well, he did pay. With
I know
the
he
interest.
Paid, but I think he's only paying because he got caught. It's not like, you know, he's paying, just because he wants to. He got caught red-handed.
He all of a sudden developed a conscience.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
well,
boy.
That was actually the clip of them all clucking like hens.
All right. Well, let's listen to this clip again, because I didn't play the whole thing.
Okay.
But here's Barbara Walters and John Ziegler.
I don't think so.
Well, you're absolutely wrong. And the facts.
Listen to how outraged she gets when somebody says she's wrong about something. She goes crazy.
This is my documentary.
I'm not absolutely wrong.
Yes,
we just disagree with you.
No, Barbara, the facts are that Sarah Palin, there are media articles all over the place before she was John McCain's running mate, where they were glowing about how wonderful she was. It was only instantaneously when she became a threat to Barack Obama that all of a sudden everything changed.
Right.
You want to take a look at
McCain?
I'm lying.
How about that? And then that pig who sits with them. That comic.
Saltfest?
Yeah. Joy Behar.
Cutman?
You like her, I can tell.
Joy Behar is the, she, you know, I don't know anybody that can sit there and look at a picture of Joy Behar on the internet and also hit that stick at the same time. Why don't you try that, Doc?
Let me tell you. You know, we try various forms of treatment for sex addiction, right? We've tried medication.
A life-size picture of her in your bedroom will whip it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if it works for there, then, you know.
It's perfect.
We may have a new treatment.
It's the best. Get a cutout of Joy Behar, stick it in a guy's prison cell, and he'll just sit there all day and want to play chess and donate to charity.
He won't be thinking about sex at all.
No, he won't think about it at all.
I used to think Indian porn was the way to treat sex addiction. Gently, slowly. Perhaps you have a new thing.
And how about her? How rude is it for her, not that I'm rude myself once in a while, but how rude is for her to have a guest on the show and then call him a liar?
Well,
right on the show.
She said, no, we just disagree with you.
No, he said, Joy Behar calls him a liar here. Listen to this.
Everything changed. You want to take a look at McCain?
She says, come on, stop lying. Stop lying.
It got pretty heated.
God almighty. Why is she still on TV?
Well, she's the only original from the program.
Know,
everybody else has moved on to bigger
Everyone's
and better things.
Everyone's moved on to bigger and better things, and she's still sitting there with that mug of hers. And it's just a disgusting broad. All right, let's move on.
I think we're done with that.
We got another clip?
Oh, okay.
Do we have another clip?
Yes, we do.
All right, here we go.
Why did she go back and do another interview?
What you see her, and you chose this clip. Mm-hmm. She is not blaming the media. She is blaming the handlers, the McCain people. This is the clip you chose in which she said...
9.5 minutes on our website.
Me. She said, I didn't do well the first time, mm-hmm. and they, not the media, not mm-hmm. us, yeah. but they, the McCain people, made me go back a second time, and it did not do well. No, she did not do well. And
well,
the point
a
is
she
that,
also
she,
hold on a
that
second.
She was not, she did not do well herself. Had Obama made the same kinds of mistakes, and I met her the other night, and she's a very charming woman, he would have been criticized as well.
Oh, that's not true. And first of all, I would urge you to take a look at the entire Sarah Palin an interview, which will come out in 3 weeks. Wait a minute, there's 9.5 minutes at our website, howobamagotelected.com. That's a small portion of that. The reality is she corrects the historical record on an entire list of items that have been misperceived by the news media. Yes. And I think in 3 weeks we're going to see... there's a lot about her family.
Talking about what you picked, what you showed.
Watch the entire 9.5 minutes, plus what else is...
Oh, man, these old farts are like splitting hairs with this guy.
I like 9.5 weeks better.
Oh, I just can't stand those women. Oh, man, I wonder what it is. Like, the most irritating women in the world flock. They find their way to that show. It's like a bug light. You know, it's one of those blue lights you have. Yeah, and the zappers you have in the summer. And it's attracting, like, these hideous bugs to this light. But everybody's been on that show. It's just so gruesome. I don't know how that thing survives. The people look at it and go, well, at least it's, I'm not that.
I've never seen a whole episode of The View.
Ugh.
You know, I watched The View because I was hanging out with my mom and she watches The View.
Of course, she's a mom.
She's a mom. And they had Mickey Rourke on. And I got to admit, it was a good show.
Wow.
Well, yeah, anything that's not politics, you know, they can handle. But when it comes to politics, they're out of this world with, craziness.
And, you know, Dr. Reef, I'm glad you said that because I've often... stayed up at night wondering, well, I've never actually seen Mickey Rourke and Joy Behar in the same room. So that puts that rumor to bed.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, the Super Bowl hosted Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band for the big halftime show this year.
How original.
I am. In this clip, Bruce instructs television viewers at home to please step away from their food while he sings.
What?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 12 minutes, we're going to bring the righteous and mighty power into your beautiful home. I want you to step back from the guacamole dip. I
God almighty. At the end.
Anybody alive out there?
That's such an interesting comment. He's basically stating that Americans are sedentary,
right,
fat, yeah, fast food junkies that are just sitting around and only his music can get them going.
Yeah. Was that Bruce saying that?
Yes.
It was?
Step away from the guacamole.
Step away from the guacamole.
Yeah.
God almighty.
That should be his next song.
All right. I purposely didn't. I went outside and had a cigarette while that idiot was on.
Yeah. Well, you're not a fan from a long time back.
Bruce Springsteen's a moron.
Yeah.
I can't stand his music. Couldn't stand it back then. When's the last time, by the way, this guy always sings about blue-collar workers. Yeah. When's the last time this guy had a blue-collar job?
Yeah.
Ever?
You don't think he like paints houses when he's
insane? Nah, get the Christ out of here. This guy's self-righteous a-hole.
Changes his oil, maybe.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, finally, out of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania people hosted the famous groundhog Punxsutawney Phil today, who saw his shadow. So that means that there's predicting 6 more weeks of winter. Doesn't really affect us down here. But
so 6 more weeks of like mid-70s out here?
6 more weeks of a balmy 80, yeah.
Man, oh, man. All right. Okay, thank you very much, Randy. Please.
Jesus Christ.
God almighty. All right, anything else going on in the news there?
That's what's going on.
All right, the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
It's just another manic Monday, Tim.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All right, folks, the star of a very popular show, The Amazing Race, is with us. Phil Kogan, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, that's an amazing show you got on there.
Well, it's been a pretty good run in this business. To be employed that long is a good thing.
How many, what is this, the 10th year, 12th year?
Well, it's the 8th year and the 14th season coming up.
Jesus Christ, that's fantastic for you.
Well,
and
yeah,
you've seen the world, huh?
Yeah, I got to see the world, too, on top of it all, so that's good.
Yeah, I told Jack Silver, a program director, they would love to have Jan, the host of The Amazing Race, and he's not a big TV fan. He thought it was a documentary about Jewish people.
Well, it's funny you said it. There have been a few people that have said, wow, really? What's The Amazing Race? I'm wondering which one it is. I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a great show, and I sit there and I watch it. My wife records it, and we watch it all the time.
Oh,
and it's just it's awesome how close you keep those competitors. You know, nobody really. I remember there's one season when there was a blow up, but usually it's very close, man.
Yeah, well, I mean the air travel is a real neutralizer for the teams, because the flights, you know, if you've got big international connections, then they do help to neutralize the teams. But we do get things changing up certainly internally, and there's always somebody's left behind, or last season we had somebody lose a passport and lose all their documents. That's really not a good way to get around
right?
the world. Yeah.
Oh, the amazing loss, huh?
Yeah, that didn't work out so well. But, it's always extremely competitive, and they're always rushing to get somewhere,
Hey, are those chicks on? Were they twins, the redheads?
No, they were just very good friends.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
They look exactly alike.
Yeah, well, that tends to happen with best friends. I guess they gravitate towards each other or something.
Yeah. Mm. Excellent. So where are you now? You in Los Angeles?
I'm in Los Angeles, yeah. I live here and live on a plane.
Oh, well, good for you. Excellent.
Yeah, I live up about 30,000 feet most of the time.
Hey, now you got some big deal going on. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I wrote a book a few years ago. It's called Now. It's called No Opportunity Wasted. And I've been trying to help people write their list of things to do before they die. And I do a lot of motivational speeches just to get people, give them a good kick in the butt to get out there and start living their life. And so a company has now wanted to take the philosophy behind Now and to run courses in helping other people write their own lists. And that's what these courses are all about. It's at ditchtheexcuses.com. You can find out all about it.
Right.
And we're running free seminars, and the idea is to really motivate people and get them out there to start living the best possible life they can.
Now, for a guy like me who last time I worked out was at Portola Junior High, and I'm 45, give you an idea of how the health is going, how would you motivate somebody like me to get into working out, and a guy who hasn't really done a chin-up or a pull-up in probably 25 years?
Well, I guess the question is, are you happy with your life?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty content with it. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I got a decent job. I got a great wife, a great kid, and you know, I'm not. You know, really angry or pissed off at anything except Joy Behar. I don't like.
Well, I'm certainly not. I think there's a lot of people that have it all sorted out, and they know what they want out of life. And
yeah, but I'd like to be healthier.
Well, if you'd like to be healthier, then you have. If you and you want something, then I guess you have to set yourself a goal and go after it. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what kind of person you have motivating you, you have to want it, and you have to want it for the right reasons. So you mentioned your family.
Right.
You may find a way to be able to connect with your family and incorporate some exercise and, you know, doing something that you want to do with your family. So rather than go to the gym and standing there aimlessly on a treadmill, you say, hey, you know what, we should make some regular appointments to go out and do some hiking with the family, with the kids. Maybe we go have a picnic, and you don't go crazy about, you know, becoming a gym junkie, but maybe you just walk with your wife around the block and talk or do something.
Yeah, I gotta do something like that.
Yeah, something that fits in with your lifestyle, something that fits in with your own personal goals, something that, you know, it speaks to you, and something that you actually enjoy doing. It shouldn't feel like a chore.
Right. So you're gonna be in town February 3rd through the 5th.
Yeah, we're setting up these seminars, and we're gonna basically tell people all about now, and hopefully get them all excited. And again, it's for people who are saying, you know, unlike yourself, you know, you sound like you really like your life, you like it, you're set up, you obviously got a great family, and you got a great job. And
hey, now if you ask my wife, maybe it's a different story, but I'm enjoying it.
Well, no, I mean, and it tells. I mean, I listen to you on the radio. I've listened to you for a few years, and I can tell you have a good time. And you know, you're lucky. You found a way to. You obviously like talking with people. You like conversing and arguing, and
right.
And you found a way to express your passion. And there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, who are unhappy with life because they just haven't, you know, tapped into who they could really be, and they want more.
And you can help them out.
Well, I'm not saying I can help everybody.
Right.
I'm just saying
I
would love to take a shot at helping people, you know, focus on the things that are right as opposed to focusing on the things that are wrong, and taking stock of their life and saying, hey, do I want to carry on like this forever? I've become a real expert at pitching a bunch of really good excuses, or am I going to, you know, say, hey, hold on a second. I got this life. I got some things going right. What am I going to do with this opportunity that I have in my life? And rather than walking around moping around, I'm going to actually do something and make a positive change.
There you go. What is the biggest success story you can point to? Did a guy lose like a couple hundred pounds?
I get one of the great things about, you know, my original list came from a near-death experience I had when I was 19. And it was a pretty self-indulgent list. And, you know, I was 19 years old. I hadn't done a lot of stuff with girls. So there were a lot of pretty self-indulgent things involved, you know, with girls on that list.
How'd you almost get wiped out?
I was scuba diving in a shipwreck, and I was too, I was trying to be, you know, tough, and I didn't want to tell everybody that I was incredibly claustrophobic, and
oh,
I was 120 feet down inside a shipwreck, and I got separated from the guy I was with, and I didn't know where up and down was. It was a huge shipwreck. It was on its starboard side. And
oh, Jesus.
Anyway, when
did you have a panic attack?
Major. And I was petrified, and, I just wasn't man enough to admit that I was scared.
Right.
And, the fact that I got out, I couldn't wait to write a list of all the things I wanted to do. And then over the years, I've actually found it even more rewarding to do things for others or to help others. And when you get emails from people who have read your book, or people tell you their stories, like I got one story from a woman who said she didn't want to write to tell me that she was going to lose weight to go run with her kids, but she wrote to me after she did that, and she said, I've just come back inside from running with my kids. I've lost 60 pounds.
Wow.
I feel so much better. I just want to thank you for the extra little motivation. Those are the stories that make you think, hey, you know, you can't get to everybody. You know, I certainly want to try to convince everybody that my way is better or anything, because, you know, everybody has their own choice in life.
Sure.
But to actually make some difference in somebody's life is hugely rewarding. And then they tend to pass it on to others and motivate others. And that to me is a very rewarding thing to do.
All right. It's February 3rd through the 5th. And if you want to check this out, you can go to No Opportunity Wasted. DitchTheExcuses.com, but No Opportunity Wasted, N-O-W, and do it now, February 3rd through the 5th. Call this number and make reservations, 1-800-901-5084, And, you know, the organization that Phil put together here is going to try to motivate you and, you know, try to get you, turn your life in a different direction and help you out. So call this number. If you feel like, perhaps you're depressed, you're not doing what you really want to do in life, then call this number, 1-800-901-5084, 1-800-901-5084. And, Phil, thanks for coming on with us, man.
Well, hey, thank you. I really appreciate you giving me some time to talk about this. And,
you betcha. And watch that amazing race.
Yeah, that's coming up. That'll be coming up on the 15th of February.
Yeah, 8 p.m.
And it's a we've got a great, great season. Very excited about the cast, and I'm very very lucky to be a part of the show, and I think people will really enjoy this season.
Excellent. Well, Phil, thanks for coming on with us, buddy.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your time.
All right, you take care of yourself.
All right, sure.
All right, there he goes, everybody. Go and motivate yourself, man. Get off that couch, start losing weight, get some motivation in you. February 3rd through the 5th, 1-800-901-5084 for reservations. Or just go to the website, ditchtheexcuses.com. Dr. Reef is with us. Also, Gina Grad hangs with us. And if you got yourself a problem, well, we're going to come back and talk about it, because this Dr. Reef is one of the best, man. He's a great psychiatrist and also an addictionologist. Sex, drugs, and relationships. Three things that a lot of people here in Southern California are involved in, and three things that people may have a problem with, and we'll hash it all out here with Dr. Reef, man. He's one of the best. Gina Gratz with us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live at 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad is with us. And also Dr. Reef, an addictionologist, and also deals with sex, drugs, and relationships. Nice to see you, Doc.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yes. All right, the Super Bowl was yesterday, and a lot of people are depressed at the end of any football season because their team didn't win.
Yeah.
So like 95% of NFL fans are disappointed. You know, because only one team wins, and if you don't happen to be a fan of that team, it's another disappointing season. So every single year could be disappointing for you when it comes to sports. Yeah, why do people then keep following it if it's always depressing?
It's that hope that the next year your team will do well. It's kind of like the hope that I have this one patient. He's like, whatever. He's always trying to pick up girls, and he's not good at it. Right.
Right.
So he'll strike out. And then he'll like muster up enough confidence to hit on the next one, knowing that he'll probably strike out again. But
and then he shows up at 8 o'clock here to run the board.
Yeah, and then you know he might work at 97.1. Actually, I don't know, but maybe it's that hope, it's that glimmer of hope that hey, maybe this next one will work out, maybe this next year will work out, right?
And it never does for some people.
And Dr. Reif, can you confirm or deny this rumor? Because I've been hearing this for years, and I think it might be a myth. They say that the rate of domestic and spousal abuse skyrockets after a Super Bowl.
I heard that's BS.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, I think it's a set up to a good joke, but it doesn't seem realistic.
Yeah, but I always heard that was a rumor, that you don't, you know, most guys don't, you know, grab the wife and haul off on her just because the Cardinals lost.
Yeah, right. I don't buy that. But it's funny, this whole depression thing, like whatever, it's not true depression, but it's the Detroit Lions, right, were so bad this year that their fans were depressed in like week two.
Right.
Right.
They went 0-16.
Right. They did awful this year. But yet some of the teams that made it to the playoffs, you're not depressed until, you know, you're
it's
in
over.
December.
Right.
And then the Cardinal fans are the ones that hold out the longest. So they have the right to be the most depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Because their hopes were so much higher before the letdown.
Right.
Right.
And they were hopeful all the way up until the last 2 minutes of the game.
Right. So my question for you is, do you think that the Detroit Lion fans should be more depressed or the Arizona Cardinal fans?
Arizona Cardinal fans.
Yeah, see, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. The Detroit Lion fans, they're depressed right now. Looking at next season, you know, they don't, but it's a mild depression. It's like, I know you're not going to win, so why should I be depressed over it? You know, the Cardinals almost won the Super Bowl for the first time in 61 years.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I treat a lot of sports athletes, but as well, I work with a lot of people, a lot of couples that are where the guy's totally obsessed with sports. And the woman's like, you know, he pays no attention to me because all he cares about is the Yankees, or all he cares about is right. the Cubs or the Bears or whatever. And it's funny because there's some guys, especially guys, that will equate their identity with their team. The team is part of their identity. So when that team loses or if someone disses that team, they're literally dissing the guy or
right.
dissing the guy's family or dissing somebody.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could,
see, I'm the same way with the Kings.
Yeah. See, like Tim's looking at me like, oh, yeah, it's of course because guys do that. But women don't understand that. They don't understand how easy it is for a guy to identify with their own persona with a team.
Like when I watch the Los Angeles Kings and it breaks out and there's a fight, right? I feel like it's a family member of mine fighting against, you know, the I don't know, the Flames or the Canucks or wherever they're playing.
That's why if a woman's like, hey, just turn the freaking TV off, all right?
You can't.
You can't, and you can't. It's almost like if a guy's really into it, it's like he's watching his family movie at home. It's like this whole connection.
Well, I get
that
vibe of having a show, like a great show, that I'd be pissed off if someone's like, hey, just turn that off, and while I'm in the middle of it. But I can't imagine projecting my feelings onto it.
Well, it's like a high-speed chase. Whenever there's a guy running away from the cops, all the guys are watching the TV. The girls are just like, what are you watching?
And you're rooting for the guy.
Yeah, you're watching a guy drive around for 2 hours. They don't get it. Yeah. You know, it's the Cowboys and Indians. It's the underdog, radical underdog, and, you know, he's trying to get away.
It's kind of like watching a video game. You know, like when you watch a high speed chase, it's kind of like you want it to be Grand Theft Auto, and you just want to see him cruise through the streets.
Pull a hooker out of the car, punch her, and get his money back.
Yeah, you know?
All right. If you have a question for Dr. Reef, he is with us. And again, he is an addictionologist. So if you guys have partied too much this weekend, or perhaps sex, drugs, and relationships, you got a relationship that's not going well. 520-9710. And this is not just standard advice. This is advice from a guy who did a lot of years in school and is a medical doctor as well. So if you have a medical question, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. I'm sure there's people out there that are using you as their primary care. You know, they don't have health insurance. They're using this show as their primary care.
Yeah, well, you know, if I can help them, it's great.
All right, Doc, real quickly, because my daughter does this. She's getting into it, and I got to try to steer away from this. I can't stand people who complain all the time. It's one of my pet peeves. If somebody complains all the time, it's a major turnoff to me. And my daughter's starting to complain.
What does she complain about?
Well, she just starts to, you know, she's just like a little moody and a little.
Thank you, point, Dad.
Hey, all right, stop your place. But just complaining, you know, about anything.
It's hot. I'm tired.
But you know, like people at the work, you know, in the workplace, right. or people are family members. But the constant complainers, what drives somebody to constantly complain about their job or their life or their relationship?
Well, we're talking about two different things here. How old is she?
She's 3.5.
Because, you know, at that age, she's just kind of learning vocabulary. She's learning emotional content. She's learning what she can get away with, what she can't, what the boundaries are. She's probably just learning how to complain. And she's rolling with it.
She also says no a lot. You know, like, hey, you want to go to the bank with Daddy? No. You want to go to the store with Daddy? No. You know, her favorite word is no. So I sat her down yesterday. I said, no more no's. Yes to everything. You know, hey, you want to take a shower? Yes. Not no, yes. You want to take a bath? Yes.
Does that work?
It sort of did for a little while. Yeah. I got to go home and test it.
Because 3 and 4 are ages in child development of oppositional behavior. You know, you're going to see that pretty significant.
That's when they get excited about learning that they get a say in things. Yeah.
They're learning about their voice, right? So they're going to see that. Now, in adults, that's a totally different situation, right? So for kids, that's just a part of the learning process.
Right. But what about adults that are complaining all the time?
Yeah. So
Is it depression?
I think sometimes, you know, in patients that I've seen, it's definitively depression. They're just not happy with things because their life circumstances or their brain chemistry or whatever. But I think there's a significant number of people. The depression people are, you know, in women, it's like 17%. In men, it's like 9%. So there's a lot of other people out there that are complaining that don't meet criteria for depression. They just complain a lot. And those people don't ever seem to be satisfied or happy with anything in their life.
Right.
They just want to complain.
complain. They identify with complaining. It gets them through the day to complain.
Is it soothing to themselves?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a form of self-soothing. It's right. Like, if I don't complain, then my life's okay. If my life's okay, I have nothing to complain about.
No identity.
What do I do?
Yeah, but you know, but there are two different people who complain. There are people who complain and are not really creative or funny about it. Then there are people who complain, like Carolla, who are hysterical about it.
Nice job, retard.
Thank you very much. And a friend of mine, Frankie Renzo, who lives out in the valley, when he complains, it's hysterical because, you know, usually it's a story and some colorful language, and I can deal with that.
Right.
It's the people who just go, oh, I can't stand my job. Oh, F this guy. You know, I can't stand having to do this.
Well, I've always thought, like, if you look at stand-up comedy, right, it's mostly based on it's complaining, it's having bad life circumstances,
right.
it's whatever.
And Observational complaining.
Yeah, you make something funny about it. It's good. There's a big difference between self-pity complaining and just kind of observationally complaining.
Right.
And it's those ones that are self-pity, like, oh, my life sucks. I hate the streets. I hate cops.
Right.
I hate my dog. What do you say to those people?
Like, I don't know.
Let me tell you, as a doctor, if a complainer comes into my office and they legitimately are just self-pity complaining, if I actually listened to that for an entire hour and didn't say anything, I would lose it. Right? I mean, I have to intervene and tell that person, you know, it's I understand you identify with complaining. I get it. I understand where you're at with things. I understand your life's been really hard. But you've got to change the way you communicate with people because this self-pity complaining thing isn't working for you.
It's not going to work, yeah.
No, it's not going to work.
All right, we got to take a break here. Dr. Reef is with us, also Gina Grad. You have a question about anything going on with your life. Again, Dr. Reef deals with sex, drugs, and relationships, three things that seem to be very popular with our listeners. 520-9710.
That and pot.
Yeah. And 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, and we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971FMTalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.